And we have here the story of Moses wanting to see the glory of the Lord. And that's always a good desire for all of us. Moses had experienced marvelous victory. Marvelous victory. God had forgiven his people. God had promised to go with them again. My presence shall go with thee. And Moses was a wise man, wasn't he? If your presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. Lord, I won't go one inch without you. That was what he told the Lord about, wasn't it? And the Lord said, I'll send my angel. These people are stiff-necked and hard-hearted, and they don't really follow after me. They've built that golden calf and danced around it. And I'll send my angel. Moses said, no. The only thing that makes us different from other people is your presence among us. That's the thing we need. We need you to be with us. And the Lord gave him that word, and then he said, Lord, I want to see your glory. I trust the Lord has put that desire in all of our hearts to know Jesus better, to have his glory manifested to us. And as he sought the Lord like that, the Lord told him, there is a place by me. That scripture, just that part of a scripture, changed the life of our brother Lardon. He was a minister since his early youth and served the Lord very effectively. God blessed his ministry. He had built several churches. He had been sent around by the denomination that he was with in Germany, the Pentecostal denomination, to a section of mountainous part of Germany, and had sort of been given responsibility for that whole field. And he went in there and he strengthened the saints, and other churches were opened under his ministry, and he delighted in the work of the Lord, and that work was a fruitful work. And then he went through the war time. I said something about that the other day, and suffered very much. But as he got out again, he got into a ministry that was very active, busy for the Lord, loving the Lord, worshiping the Lord, in fellowship with my uncle's ministry. He'd been there several times in Hamburg and had tent meetings and conferences. But this man went through a trial of sickness with his eyes. He had a detached retina. And he had to lay in the hospital flat on his back. I don't know how they treat that everywhere, but there they, with him, he had to lay perfectly still, flat on his back. And there God began to talk to him. And he was praying, of course, and seeking the Lord very quietly. He wasn't to move much and lay there still. And God spoke to him. And he said, there is a place by me. He saw somehow that he had been living a little distance from God. He'd been serving God joyfully, but God wanted him closer. And God had to lay him on his back to talk to him. You know, that happens often. Brother Governor, who some of you know from Africa, has always been a very energetic preacher. Meetings every night, keep going after souls, work until before the night is coming when you can't work anymore. Well, you know, the night has come. It's closing in on Africa. But there he got sick with his heart, and for 6 months was stretched out on his back. And you know, the Lord spoke to that man and told him, you're too busy. You're not living close enough to me. I would like to change your whole ministry. strange, wasn't it? I'd like to change your ministry. I'd like you to live closer to me, an inward life, a more fruitful life. And as he was on his back, God talked to him about this matter, and you know, he decided to come to New York. He wanted to wait on the Lord. But before he left Africa, he already had an agenda. I don't know how many churches he was going to visit and hold meetings here and there, other places. And when he got to New York City, God spoke to him again. I want you to wait on me. I want to reveal myself to you. Well, he stayed about 2 weeks, and the only other place he came was Pilgrim Camp. And he spent, a month here, something like that. His wife was not of the same mind as he. She's a very good woman, very fine woman, but also an active woman. Something like the Martha that we read about, you know, with Mary. She certainly is a very fine entertainer in the home for ministers and others who come, and takes wonderful care of her husband too. And you know, she couldn't quite see it the way, but she was here at camp with him. They stayed here during the summer. It was the summer season, and God came to them and changed his whole life. He asked me to come and be with him for a while. I went down to the dedication of the new building. And then he wanted all the ministers to come together. We had 2 weeks meetings, and he kept saying, we never had anything like this. We waited on the Lord. We did like we do here. We just waited for the Lord to show and to go before, and they weren't used to that at all. And it was hard for them to adjust to that. And he's still trying to get the brethren to come into the presence and live in God. Mr. Lardone, when God had talked to him and said, there is a place by me, and I'll hide you there in the cliff of the rock, and I'll cover you with my hand and let my glory pass by. And that's where we get the song from, and it's such a precious song, He Hideth My Soul. It's a nice song to sing. But we all have to realize God would like to say to every single one of us this afternoon, there is a place by me. I've got a place for you. You want to see my glory? You come close to me. That place is by me. And I want to hide you. I'll hide you in the rock. We sing, oh, rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. And of course, that rock is Jesus Christ. But there is a place by me. I trust that God will be able to talk to every one of us. He wants you and he wants me to come closer to him. And he's got a place right near his heart. And he wants to hide us there, but sometimes we're so active, doing good things, that we cannot learn to come closer. They have a chorus in German, I suppose that the Germans here can sing it, I don't know. But all it says is näher, noch näher, 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 näher. The word näher means nearer, nearer, nearer. It's such a beautiful chorus when they sing it. Come nearer, come nearer. Come nearer. Remember when Joseph revealed himself to his brethren, and he said, I'm Joseph, I'm your brother. And they were so astonished and were shocked. They had sold him to be a slave, and here he was ruler, and they stood before him trembling. And he said, come nearer, come on. I want you to come close. They had to come close to him. And we read, they embraced one another and wept together. Oh, there's nothing like really coming into the arms of Jesus, coming close to Him. And God has a place for us. There is a place by me, and I'll shut you in there, and I'll cause my glory to pass by. Sometimes I find, when I get to meeting at home also, that people are quite keyed up when they come to meeting. It's pretty hard sometimes for them to just lie down in green pastures, just let go of everything. As we read in Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God." You ever try to get still? Really still, I mean. Determine that you're going to get still as Elijah got still there on the mountainside, and all the different manifestations that were stormy and loud and shook the whole mountainside. They didn't touch him. But when he heard that still, small voice, we read he covered his head. He put a veil over his face. God had come. God had come. When we first worked in Germany, in the meetings, God would often, in our morning worships, manifest his presence so that we come into silence. And one day we sat there for over an hour, and it was after the meeting, and people still sat another hour. And there was a young man there who was a banker. I always think everybody's younger than I am. He's older than I am. But I do. I sometimes feel that way. And then there are other people I think, I saw a fellow the other day. I always thought he was way older than I am. I don't know how that goes, you know. And he told me, "I'm retiring the end of this week. I got to be 67. I thought he was 80 at least, you know. Here I'm looking at him, and some of the people I minister to, I think they're all older men, and then I find out they're my age or younger sometimes. Fools you a little bit. But you know, it's so wonderful just to get still before God and to hide in Him and to wait for Him. And here Elijah, he heard that still small voice in his soul. He got still enough. And it's an important thing for us that we hear the Lord and see the Lord, and our activities, our active natures, they intermingle. That's a fellow by the name of Bertrand Durenty, one of the French mystics who was a post office man and but had a busy life. But he learned to wait on God, and somehow or other he had found the way. And he said, "The trouble with us, we don't get still enough over the Word of God, and the natural intermingles. And consequently, God is not able to give us His Word inwardly." I trust we all know something about that. In Pentecost, we should. Do you know that still small voice? "My sheep hear my voice." It's your privilege to hear the voice of God. And let me warn you, though, the voice of the Lord will always correspond with the written word. Every time. There's some people that are given to messages and voices, and there's a lot of that going on today that is not accurate. But we never go astray when we keep in the Word of God. And there we get to know the Shepherd, and He speaks to us mostly through His Word. He'll make it alive to you. He'll bring it to you. He'll remind you of it. And that's why we need the Bible, to know and to know the voice of the Shepherd. But to get still before God inwardly. Inwardly. We try to get still, and outwardly sometimes we can be still. It's a miracle if you, when you look right down to it now and think about it a little bit, to have a company of people like this sit still for 15 or 20 minutes without moving, it means that God has done something for us. You try that in the world. Try it. You're shaking your head. You mean it can't be done, huh?
Not the world.
But when we come into meetings in the presence of God, it shows us that God has done something for these bodies of ours. He's quieted us in His presence. We ought to treasure that. I've been in meetings where you just can't get still and can't get everybody still. But I'm so thankful for a meeting like this where Jesus manifests His presence and we can sit still in His presence and know that He's working in us and enjoy Him. Or do you? I'm sure you do. It's Jesus who comes to us, and He wants to quiet us inwardly. We had a sister in Ridgewood, and she said to me, "Oh, when I get still, then the thoughts just come racing through my mind, and the Lord speaks to me." I said, "Sister, that ain't the Lord. You gotta shut your mind off, too, those thoughts that come. They bombard you, don't they? It's so good to get still."
Yeah.
And to really look to the Lord. And it takes something for you and for me to get still. We think we're too important for that. But you know, there's the most important thing you can do is to hear God say, "Listen, I got a place by me for you. And if you'll come, I'll hide you there. I'll put you in there and I'll cover you. And I'll hide you there and I'll let my glory pass by." Oh, the manifestation of God, of His presence, of His light and love and His word that comes to us as we wait on the Lord. And the Lord wants to work that within every one of us. And that's so vital for us. You know Dr. Simpson's story and how God made that man a blessing in all the earth, the whole world. He was a very busy man. And he worked hard, and he was a sick man. And the doctor had told him, had warned him not to overdo. But then he heard somewhere in the writings of the mystics that you could get still before God, and God would speak to you. And he tried it, and it was hard for him at first. He thought of all the visits he should make, and sitting here doing nothing, and he felt ashamed of himself, you know. And sometimes we have tarrying meetings in Ridgewood, and we get alone before God, and we prep these times for 2 weeks where we just get still in His presence. And one of our brethren came in one day and said, "Do nothing around here all day long. Just come in here and fall asleep." And, you know, and he hadn't the slightest idea. And sad to say, 30 years later, he doesn't have the slightest idea yet. That's a tragedy. But you know, God wants us to learn to wait on the Lord. And Dr. Simpson learned that, and that man heard a voice on the inside. When he got still, God spoke to him. I covet his experience. He had a deep experience. He said there was a voice that he heard in his soul, and God said, "I've been there all the time. But you didn't get still enough." But after that, when he preached, his ministry was heavier, the schedule was heavier, but it became very easy, very simple. It was God in him, speaking through him. But this is what I was saying I covet from him. He said he never wrote one page twice. And he wrote many books. I have a hard time getting started sometimes to the first paragraph. Did you ever try it?
Yeah, that's hard.
Well, you know, that man had that gift from God. And the books that he has written, the emphasis of his ministry, you know what it is. Jesus only is our message. Jesus, all our theme shall be, we will lift up Jesus only, Jesus ever. We will see. Jesus only, Jesus ever, Jesus all in all, we sing. Savior, sanctifier, healer, glorious Lord, and coming King. Hallelujah. And what a light came into the world. And he was something, you find a lot of preachers like that. They said no matter where he started, he always wound up with, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He had a light that we were speaking about this morning of Christ within. I didn't get quite finished this morning in what I wanted to say. I felt the Lord was pouring out his spirit and we should stop and drink. You know, the Lord wants to manifest himself within you and in me. He wants us to hear his voice inwardly. He wants us to get still before him and learn to worship and learn to look to the Lamb of God and just get rid of our own steam. That gets in the way. And the Lord Jesus has a problem with us to get us still and get us to the place where we hear him. Well, Dr. Simpson did, and his ministry spread throughout the whole world. It hasn't perhaps always remained after these many years in the same power, but there is a light that is shining through one man who learned to live in God, to live in the presence of God, to live near to God. Some of his songs, I don't know if you have his book of poetry or his songs, Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in me, oh wonderful story, Christ in me, the hope of glory. One of the lovely songs that the man wrote, and so many of them, and they all have the same sort of tone to them. It's Jesus within. He discovered him. And God would say to you and to me today, I've got a place for you. You want to see my glory? You don't have to run off to that meeting where there's so much going on and where the prophetess tells you to do somersaults and things like that and promises you a new Cadillac if you'll do it. You know, that church is full. No, you don't need that. Get alone with God. Get still before God. Find that secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and you'll have something better than the Cadillac and better than anything could buy, any money can buy. You'll have eternal life. Hallelujah. Do you dwell in that secret place? Do you know about it? God wants us all to find that place. That place is Jesus himself. Oh, to dwell in that secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What a marvelous word we have there in Psalm 91. But there's a reason. There's a conditions there. He hath made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. We have to make our choice. I want to walk with you, Jesus. I want to know your indwelling. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. We make our choice every day. Every day we're constantly making a choice. Shall it be Jesus? Amen. It shall. Yes. I've made him my refuge. I've made him my habitation. Why, Jesus tells us if we love him, we'll keep his words, and the Father and the Son will come and abide with us. What a simple way it is, and still it's a glorious way, and God has that place for you. There is a place by me. Next time I came to Germany after this man was well, I was sitting in a meeting, and I noticed something. And one of the other pastors was sitting next to me, and they said, you know, the man's changed. There's a richness. There's a freshness. There's something new in his ministry. And as I said, he has a marvelous ministry. But there was a touch from heaven that was new. Because God had said to him, listen, you want to see my glory? Come closer. I got a place. There's a place by me, and let me hide you there. let me hide you. Folks, it's worth everything for us to seek that place, and that isn't some geographical locality, it's here. It's right in here. I want to abide in you. I want to live in you, Christ within you, the hope of glory. The third chapter there in Colossians, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, we ought to seek that union. There is a place by me, I've got it for you, he said to Moses. Come up on the rock. Come on. I like that rock, don't you? This rock is Jesus, the fellas played before. He's the one. Stand on the rock. Praise the Lord. His way is so glorious. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad I don't have to go into somebody's kitchen and have somebody prophesy over me. I'm glad I can come to the rock and stand on the rock. Hallelujah. And find there's a cleft in that rock just for me. And he'll hide me there. Have you been hidden? The light that the Apostle Paul and I was speaking about this morning, that God entrusted to him, how he emphasizes Jesus is all you need. All we need. You hide in him. I don't live anymore. Still I do live. But no more I, it's Christ who lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You have that emphasis all the way through the epistles. Oh, let's come and let's find a place that God has for you near to the heart of God. Let us press in. Let us pay the price. And when you find yourself nervous, and it's so good just to get still and look at Jesus and say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, you're in my heart. Jesus, your peace is mine. Hallelujah. God wants all of us to know him better. And he wants us to know Christ dwelling within us, and that he is able. And it's such a wonderful life of fellowship, a hidden life. You're dead. You're dead. I always enjoy people coming to me and telling me how dead they are. You know, when you're dead, you don't know it. That's gone. You don't talk about that anymore. You don't have to say, oh, I'm just dead. My feelings are dead. It's a sure sign they aren't. So don't tell it. But reckon yourselves to be dead, crucified with Christ. Take the power of his crucifixion and claim it in your life, and he'll give you victory over the self-life. And say, now, Jesus, I want to hide in you. I want to be united to you. I want to be one with you. And you'll find that it isn't just a few people who are called to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Aren't a few people who are just constituted that way, you know. I'm not made that way. God has a place for you near his heart, and he loves you. And we are all different in our makeup. Thank God for that. Aren't you glad you're not like I am? You ought to be very thankful. We're all different. And the marvelous thing about it is that Jesus has a place for every one of us. To want him, himself, not his blessings, not to be used, not to be someone great, but to have him,
yes, Lord.
To hide in him. And he'll say, I have a place for you, a place, I like that, it's by me. Hallelujah. You can go where you want to, folks. I want to go to him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to see him. And I know we all want to see him. And he is showing his glory to us. But let's learn from him that Christ is always within. And let's cultivate Christ within us. Jesus, you're within me. Reveal yourself to me. And he will.
Yes.
He will. He wants to. That's his purpose. There was something so precious about the Apostle Paul's experience. He says, I'm reaching out for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I've often thought about that. What would that prize be of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? But I heard my uncle speaking just recently on a little cassette. I don't know if you have it yet. I have some cassettes I don't give out. But he said the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is that perfect union with the Son of God. When I was a kid, a boy, came to the faith home, I often heard this expression, the Lord would like to perfect his presence within you. Or something like we read this morning, God wants to finish, he wants to complete the revelation of himself. Perfect his presence. I heard that. I was going to high school and I didn't know what that meant. And so I asked my uncle one day about it. Oh, he's talked about knowing Jesus and abiding in him and being one with him. Isn't that what he prays for in John 17? Yeah, that's his prayer. He wants you to be in him and he in you and we all in one. And he paid the price for that. Hallelujah. The poor fellow, like I am, he opened the door to me. Isn't that marvelous?
Yes, amen.
And he says, come on, I want you to be one with me. And Paul reached out for the prize. And he said, oh, that perfect you with himself. He had him living within him. He had tasted, but it made him more hungry. More hungry, and he pressed on. He said, I pressed toward the mark. I want to know him. Didn't he know him? Sure he did. Some people come around and they say, what you praying so much for? You've got the Lord, what are you praying for? Why do you seek him? You have him. They've got it all already. I don't want to tell you a secret. When you once get a sight of him, it's better than Cracker Jacks, you know, the more you eat, the more you want. I don't even like to say that expression or liken it like unto that. He is so precious.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
So precious. And the more you're occupied with him, the more you want to be occupied with him. And throughout the ages of eternity, we'll never really get to the end of the glory and the majesty and the life and the union, the wisdom and the grace of God in Jesus Christ, where we're going to know him better all the time.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And that's my prayer for you all. Let me say it once again. I wish God would just speak it into every one of your hearts.
Jesus.
There's a place by me.
Jesus.
I got a place for you. Moses, show me your glory. Moses, you can't see me and live, but I got a place for you. Hallelujah. There's some things that we have to wait for, but right now there's a place for you. By me, he says. Oh, Jesus, we love you.
Yes.
We love you, Lord. God's been drawing us into that place today. I'm so grateful for times like these.
Yes.
You can't manufacture them. You're not tricky enough to bring them about, no matter what psychology you use. But it's a great heart of love. A heart that was broken on Calvary for you and for me, that we might have him and that he might have us. And he says, I got a place. Oh, Jesus, help us to hear your voice. Help us to press into that place of fellowship and union and communion that you have, Lord. We pray that we shall find you and find that secret place of the Most High God more perfectly We want to abide, Jesus.
Yes.
And you want us to abide.
Yes.
And you want to effect a union. And I pray, my God, that this day and at this time you will bind hearts to your heart. Bind our hearts to your heart, Lord. Bind us closer. We don't want to go back. We don't want to lose out. We don't want to go away from you. But we want to come closer all the time.
Yes,
and we pray that you will forge those ties, Lord, those desires, those longings that are awakened by the Holy Ghost, that we may learn to live in God, and God may fill every one of us and live in us and walk in us.
Yes,
Lord. Amen.
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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thank you. Abide in